Thank you very much. Thank you.
I think we were too quick to sit down. Before you sit down, just go to one or two places and hug them and tell them welcome to church. Amen. Just welcome one or two people to church. Come on, say something nice to them. Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Welcome to church. I'm going to do the welcome to church. So, yeah, the only one who welcomed me to church. Praise God, praise God, praise the Lord. Oh. Hallelujah. Yeah. No. That's okay. Hallelujah. Praise God. We all feel welcome to church now. Ah, that's better. Praise God. But you forgot to welcome me to church. Hallelujah. Oh, no. Jesus said, rejoice, little flock, because it is the Father's desire to give you the kingdom. Yes. God is giving us the kingdom. Amen. God is doing a new thing in our midst. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And today marks the beginning of our journey, our seven-day journey of fasting and prayer. So I want to encourage all of us to be a part of the journey. Because fasting is a practice that we often do as we seek to make ourselves more receptive to God. It doesn't change God, but it changes us.
Amen.
It makes us more receptive to the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I've discovered that fasting does not kill. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, most of us would have died. Mm-hmm. It's just the fear of fasting, which is more painful than the actual fasting.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray one more time. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before your presence this morning. We come to worship you and to glorify your holy name. We say you are worthy of all glory and you are worthy of all honor. You are our God and we are your people. As we begin this journey in which we consecrate our lives to you, as we pray for the work of God, as we pray for our nation, as we pray for the things that you would want us to do, as we walk with you, we pray for your hand upon our lives and we pray for your grace upon our lives and we pray that your will be done. This morning we pray for the coming of your word. We pray that you will make it very simple for each and every one of us to understand. And give us the grace to live according to that word and to act upon that word. We pray for our brethren who are not able to be here today. We pray for your grace upon their lives. We pray for those who are in hospital, those who are not feeling well. We pray that your Holy Spirit, my Father, will touch them and heal them. We send forth your word that it may heal them, that it may save them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you today, even as we gather in your presence. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Let's open our Bibles to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2. The book of Nehemiah is normally found in the Old Testament of the Bible. Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse number, I'm reading two verses from there to begin with. Verse number 17 and verse number 18. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. My message is in line with what the pastor has announced and the vision of the pastor, the things that he would want us to do in the coming days. It's always good to obey the servants of God. Amen. It has its own blessings.
Amen.
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 Now this is Nehemiah speaking, and he says, "Then I said to them, do you see the distress that we are in? How Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burnt with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer be a reproach." Verse number 18 reads, "And I told them of the hand of my God, which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me." So they said, now this is the people, the church members. They said, "Let us rise up and build." And then they set their hands to do this work.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen.
So there are a lot of things that we can pick out from these two verses. Praise God. But we'll not address everything that we can pick up from these verses. We'll just pick a few. It all started in chapter 1 with God laying a desire upon Nehemiah's heart to inquire about the well-being of God's people that had escaped captivity and the general condition of his homeland and its people. So we see in chapter number 1 of the book of Nehemiah, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, he says, "And they said unto me," he was doing his inquiries, "things are not going well." That's what they say to Nehemiah. "For those who returned to the province of Judah, they are in great trouble and disgrace. The wall of Jerusalem has been torn down, and the gates have been destroyed by fire." Three things that got to Nehemiah's attention. Number one, things were not going well for the people. Something had to be done. Number two, the wall of Jerusalem was broken down. The wall speaks of protection. When there is no wall, there is vulnerability. When there is a wall, there is protection.
Amen.
So there must be protection for the church, for the people of God, for the servants of God. And when that wall, that spiritual wall is broken down, when that glory is not there, then there is vulnerability. Number three, he says, the gates are destroyed. And as you know, gates are entry points. That's where things enter through, and that's where things go out through. So he says the gates are also broken down. So these issues, they led Nehemiah into fasting and prayer. And there are things to take note of. Nehemiah had a reality check of the situation, and he saw the need.
Amen.
We have to see the need when it comes to the work of God.
Hallelujah.
So Nehemiah did a reality check, and the need was obvious. Number two, he narrated the situation and what needed to be done to his trusted people. He had to communicate the vision. He had to communicate what needed to be done to redress the situation. And number three, fortunately, the same people who got this message from Nehemiah, they shared the same burden concerning what Nehemiah had said. In other words, they saw the need.
Hallelujah.
And they agreed with what Nehemiah had said.
Hallelujah.
And the final point is that they responded to the leader's call, which is very important. They all responded to the leader's call to pray and to build. How did it happen? Because they bought into the vision.
Hallelujah.
The only reason why people do not respond to what their leaders tell them is because they have not bought into the vision. The moment people see the vision, or the vision is laid out, and they look at the vision and they understand the vision, and they buy into the vision, that will be the beginning of progress. It is not what we hear that matters. It is our response that will make a difference. We may hear about the needs, we may hear about prayer, about fasting, about everything, but it is our response that will make a difference. So God was about to do a new thing in Nehemiah's day. And he needed a team of people to work with. Nehemiah could not do it alone.
Hallelujah.
He needed people who understood the need and who bought into the vision.
Yes.
And the situation is the same today.
Yeah.
If the work of God is to go forward, if we have to make a difference in our day, we need to understand what is on the table. And we need to buy into the vision. So fortunately, there was a core group of people. There were not very many, but there was just a core of group of people who made themselves, I want to use the word, available. Because that is what is in line with what I am saying today. This group of people, they made themselves available.
Hallelujah.
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 So we are in a season where God is doing a new thing, and God wants to do what God wants to do is not going to happen by itself or by osmosis. It will have to be caused to happen by people who buy into the vision. It will take people who choose to buy into the vision for it to happen. Listen to what Isaiah says. Isaiah 43 and verse number 18 says, this New Living, New International Version. It says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Hallelujah. See, look, I am doing a new thing. Praise God.
Amen.
When God tells us that he is doing a new thing, it means God is doing a new thing.
Yes.
And it means people have to prepare for the new thing that God is doing.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And now he says, now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Underline that word, perceive.
Hallelujah.
Underline it in your Bible or in your heart or in your spirit. Just underline it. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. Perception. Perception is the way we see and understand things. Without perception, you know, nothing much will happen. The problems of many people begins with perception. And that's why God says, don't you perceive it? Can you not see? Now, you cannot participate in something that you are not able to see. So God is preparing his church for the return of Jesus Christ. And God does nothing in a vacuum. He works with people who are willing and who make themselves available. But it takes perception to make oneself available to the purposes of God. It takes perception. You can see where this thing is going. That is perception. You can see where things are going. You can see what is about to happen or what God is about to do. And then you say to yourself, I want to make myself available. And then you are available. How we see things determine how we value them. Yes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So there is a difference between being present and being available. There is a difference between being present. We can be both. We can be present and available. But many times I've realized as a pastor that I have a lot of people present, but very few available. It's an observation. It's not a criticism. It's just an observation.
Hallelujah.
I see many people sitting in church, and I think I have people, and then later on when I need people, I realize that many are present, but few are available.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. But if we look in the Bible, we see that in response to God as he called them, our spiritual fathers, they said a certain phrase which we always find in the Bible, which we may have thought about or which we may not have thought about, but which speaks about availability. And that little phrase is composed of three words. Here I am. Just three little words. Here I am. All individuals and bodies of God's people who achieved significant things for God. Number one, they had a perception of what God was doing. Number two, they discerned the times and the purposes of God. And number three, they made themselves available when God called them. When God called them, they uttered these three words. They said, here I am.
Hallelujah.
I'm available.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
They made themselves available when God came calling. Abraham is a good example. Moses is another example. Isaiah is another example. And we see many other prophets who, in response to God's calling upon their life, said, here I am. They made a choice to be available. It was a choice. God didn't force them to be available, but they made a choice to be available. When a person says, here I am, they are basically saying, I am at your service. What do you want me to do? And then you show them what you want them to do, and they do it. When somebody says, I'm available, here I am, it means they are ready. They are ready to give. They are ready to pray. They are ready to do whatever. Availability is the quality of being close at hand and ready for use or ready to be used.
Amen.
Availability.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is no substitute to availability in the house of God.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Worship is led by people who are available.
Yeah.
Offerings are given by people who are available.
Amen.
Prayer meetings are attended by people who are available.
Amen.
Witnessing and evangelism is done by people who are available.
Yeah.
Availability. There is no substitute to availability.
Mm.
But people can be present and not available.
Mm.
Availability is very important.
Hallelujah.
So these people, they say, you can use me, you can send me. I am available to fast and pray. I'm available to save. I'm available to lead a prayer meeting or a house group. I'm available to give my tithe, my offering, my gifts, offer my talents, my abilities. I am available to do your will. But the good thing about it is a choice that has to be made.
Hallelujah.
It is a choice. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As much as I would want people to serve God, I can't force them. They have to be available. As much as I see what is good for the people of God that I lead, I can't force them. They have to be available. They have to say in their own heart and with their own mouth, here I am. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus, you know, told of a parable in Matthew chapter number 25. We will not go there. And he said, the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country. And what does he do? He chooses three people. I don't know whether they were male or female, but there were three people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he gave to them talents. He gave to them gifts. He gave to them abilities.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Amen.
And all the three of them made a choice. All of them, the three of them, they made a choice. The Bible actually says he gave them his own goods. He says he gave them, he delivered his goods to them. As we proceed with the verses, that's when the word talent comes in. But verse 14 says he gave to them his goods. As we come to the house of God, it is important that we realize that we have the Lord's goods. He has invested his goods in us. So the two made a choice, which was similar, and the other one made a choice, which was different. But they all made choices. And how we use the gifts or the goods the Lord has given unto us depends on two things. It depends on our choices, and it depends on our availability. So the two guys were ready, they were available, and they made a choice to invest, to use the master's goods, and they made profit. But this other one talent guy, he chose to sit on the Lord's goods. It was his choice. He was not available to do anything with it. He was not available to multiply it. He was not available to make even a little effort, just took it, hid it in the ground, and then when the master came back, he came up with all sorts of stories. Praise God. The Lord longs for us to respond to him, to be near to him, to be close to him, to place him at the center of our lives. It takes our choice and our availability. Because it is his deep desire to have an intimate relationship with us. He expects a response from us. We see this with Adam and Eve. Their routine was, God would come in the cool of the day and have fellowship with them. But one day, things just changed. People who used to be on fire for God, never missed the service, never missed the presence of God, things suddenly changed. When they heard the voice of God, they went into hiding. What happened? It was just one day. Things changed. The fire was gone, the zeal was gone, the love was gone, and we see it today, and we see it everywhere. Genesis chapter 3, verse number 8, I'll read. It says, New King James, "And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, 'Where are you? Where are you?' So he said, 'I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself.'" And God was like, "When did this begin? When did it start? When did you start fearing me and hiding from me?" It simply happened one particular day. I don't know for how long they had had that relationship, whether it was 2 years, 3 weeks, I don't know. But eventually, their relationship got torn apart. When God came looking for Adam and Eve, the answer that he was expecting was, "Yeah, I." But it is always Satan's agenda to separate people from God and from their brethren. If the devil can separate people from their God and from their brethren, he is one. That's why many times there is no much communication among the people of God. And yet God wants church to be a family. A family that communicates, a family that is concerned about one another's needs, about what is happening in the lives of people. It is the devil's agenda to separate people from him. Hallelujah. It is the devil's agenda for people to hide what God has given them. Hallelujah. So, walking in the garden, God would call out, "Adam." God was looking. He's looking for his friend and his wife. "Adam, Adam." It's nowhere to be found. Because they had disobeyed God and they had lost their innocence, Adam and Eve were afraid to come out of hiding, just like most of God's people do. And why is it that? It's because our lifestyles should be a source of encouragement. To know that I am in right standing with the Heavenly Father. When he comes calling, I'll be in a position to say, "Here I am. I am available." We should never do things that will violate our conscience, causing us to lose our confidence in God or in ourselves. However, God looked at the situation, and because God is always longing to restore relationships, you know what God did? In verse 21, the Bible says, "And the Lord God made clothing from animal skins for Adam and his wife." So God had to shed animals. He had to shed the blood of animals to cover for their sin instead of the leaves they had made for themselves. Leaves were not good enough because they have no blood. The principle of God is where there is no shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. So God had to shed an animal, to shed the blood of an animal so that he may cover. He didn't take away, but he had to cover the sins of Adam and Eve. It is the only the blood of Jesus Christ when he came years later that is able to take away our sins. Hallelujah. So the shed blood of Jesus is the only pathway into God's presence. And any religion that excludes the shed blood of Jesus Christ is not good enough to restore our relationship with God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And in this act also God showed us the future redemptive plan that he had when he called Abraham to sacrifice his own son, Isaac. It was a picture of how God would sacrifice his own son and in order to restore that relationship between him and us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Genesis 22, verse number 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham, and he said to him, Abraham! And he said, Here I am. Now Abraham was different from Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, when they heard the voice of God, they went into hiding. But when Abraham heard the voice of God, he said, Here I am. He was not available. God wants us to be available. Hallelujah. It will always come to pass that at some point in our walk with God, God will come knocking on the doors of our hearts, calling on you and calling in me, seeking for our attention. Because we have his goods. Because we have his life in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we must be prepared and we must be ready to say, Here I am. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So when God called out Abraham, even without knowing what the Lord would ask of him, he answered, Here I am. When Abraham found out that God wanted to sacrifice his son, he still obeyed.
Mm.
He didn't chicken out. He still obeyed.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Abraham was available to God. When God came calling, just like Isaiah said, Here I am, just like Moses was available, Abraham said, Here I am. But Abraham was not only available to God, Abraham was also available to his son. In verse number 7, God tells Abraham to go and sacrifice in Mount Moriah. He takes his servants and his son and they journey to Mount Moriah. In verse number 7, Isaac spoke to his father and he says to his father, My father! And the father says, Here I am, my son. So God does not only want us to be available to him, he also wants us to be available to our own families. When I listen to some news and to some chats that go on TV and things like that, I hear that the current problems that the young people go through is because of the unavailability of their fathers. Unavailability. Now here we see a man who was available to his family. And he said, he did not only say to God, Yes, Lord, here I am. He was available to God, but he was also available to his family.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes people are present. Fathers are present in the house, but they're not available.
Yeah.
Mothers are available. They are present in the house, but they're not available.
Yeah.
We need to be available.
Hallelujah.
You know, as Abraham lifted up his life to slaughter his son and offer him in obedience to what God instructed him. You know, the angel of God called out from heaven and says, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He answered. Still, he was available. That's verse number 11. And then that's when God showed him a ram caught in a thicket, and then that ram took the place of his son. So Abraham was available to God and he was available to his family. Now, God does not only want us to be available to him and to our families. Paul writes in the book of Timothy in chapter number 4 and verse number 11. And he says, Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for the ministry. Servants of God, pastors, servants of God, they need people who are available.
Hallelujah.
Especially when it comes to the building of the house of God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So in other words, as God's people, we must be available to God. We must be available to our families, and we must be available to the servants of God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
So Paul registers his complaint and he says, only Luke is with me. But Luke was not the only convert that Paul had. He had many other converts. He had healed many other people. He had cast out devils from many other people. But he says, only Luke. Now he's in the prayer meeting and Paul says, now I'm in a prayer meeting, but only Luke.
Mm.
He's looking for an offering and people give and he says, only Luke. Please bring Mark. Maybe things may change.
Mm.
The Bible says in the book of James, these things ought not to be so, brethren.
Mm.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let me tell you the desire of every pastor. The desire of every pastor is to have people available.
Hallelujah.
To run with the vision that God has put upon the heart of the pastor. You remember, Nehemiah says, I didn't tell them of the good hand of the Lord that was upon me and the words. And the words. So there was the hand of God and the words of the king upon the men of God. Hallelujah. So when we realize that there are some things God has put upon the heart of his servant. His hand is upon his servant. And what he's asking us to do is not just a figmentation of his own mind, but it is according to what God has told him that he should do. We need to be available.
Hallelujah.
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 We need to be available.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. On Sunday, the pastor said, no, we are having prayer meetings. Only some, it's just the six. He mentioned the number six. And remember, he mentioned six people in the prayer meeting. And he said, but this last Wednesday, things were different. We had more. He mentioned 16. I was listening. He said 16 in the prayer meeting. Which means he took note of it. Pastors, take note of what is happening. They take note of the availability.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When I want to preach, I take note of the availability of worshipers, people, players of instruments. I take note of their availability because it has something to do with my ministry. I take note of the availability of people.
Hallelujah.
So Nehemiah had this challenge now. He wants to build. He wants to build the walls of Jerusalem. He wants to restore the gates of Jerusalem. What does he do? He looks for people who are available. He looks for people who are available. There are so many challenges to life. There are so many responsibilities in life. There are so many things that we have to do. So many things are competing for our time. But ultimately, this availability is to God and to his purposes.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
So we have to be available to God. We have to be available to our families. But you also need to be available to the men of God.
Hallelujah.
I know the pastor will not stand here and be as radical as I can be and tell you, hey, guys, I have to do it. I can do it. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Let me say it one more time. The man of God, the pastor in the house,
amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is affected by the unavailability
yes.
of the people of God who are supposedly
yes.
be standing with him.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have to be available.
Amen.
When an offering is needed, we have been told about the needs and the ram that must be eaten. We need people who are available.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
If it were up to me, I would not just say the text man will refund us and then will give us the money. And I would simply tell you, when the blessing of God comes, it comes to the text man. If you want the blessing of God, give me 1,000, give me 500. Let's do that thing so that the blessing of God may come upon us, not the text man.
Yeah.
We need people available to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If the church is built by money that comes from the taxmen, where do you think the blessing will go? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. If I was him, I would have said, who is giving me 500? Who is giving me 500 pounds, brethren? Praise God. One of you would have stood up and said, I'm going to give you 500. When, who is giving me 200 pounds? One of you would have stood up and said, I'll give you 200 pounds. Probably by now, by the end of the service, we have 5,000 pounds. Praise God. And the work of God is done because there are people who are available. Their money is available. But when things demand for money in our lives, the money is available. When the house of God demands for money, the money is not available. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
We need to be available to the purposes of the house of God.
Yes.
So Nehemiah did not only call for a prayer meeting. He called for a prayer meeting, but he called for people who would put their hands there, put their money there, put their time and their efforts there.
Yeah.
Available.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Availability.
Amen.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Didn't spiritualize things. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
We don't make progress by spiritualizing things.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We make progress by doing things.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God does not only want us to be available to him, to our families, and to the men of God. God also wants us to be available to one another.
Amen.
As brethren.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We shouldn't be strangers who just greet each other when we are in church. But as soon as I'm not used to that kind of church where when we meet in the street, I think I saw him at church. I'm used to the kind of church where the people in the streets, they know that you and me, we know each other.
Yeah.
Because we are available to each other.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that I'm used to.
Yeah.
Praise God. Because church is supposed to be family. How will we spend eternity together in heaven if we can't spend a few 2 years together here on earth?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How will we fellowship in heaven if we can't fellowship here on earth? We have to be available to one another. You hear somebody's in hospital. Praise God. There should be a queue. What I know, if one of us gets sick, if it's visiting hour, there is a queue. There is a queue. The hospital staff, they know that these people, they come from Pastor Kumba's church and they want to see their fellow Christian.
Mm.
And they say, oh, guys, only 2 people are allowed at a time. So 2 people get in, 30 seconds, shalom, shalom, how are you, brother? And we have to go out to accommodate others. And next. Praise God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Not this thing of looking around at other patients being visited by people when a person has church brethren who are not available to him. I'm not used to that kind of thing. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Galatians 6 verse 2. Carry each other's burdens. And in this way, you fulfill the law of Christ. You can't carry my burden. I can't carry your burden, whether in prayer, whether just by visiting you, whether by moral support. I can't carry your burden if I'm not available. I have to be available.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praying for one another, visiting, or even just sending a text message, being available. Church should feel like family. Where you know that your brothers and sisters will be available in good times and in bad times. You know that, you know, when Peter and John had been taken, they were beaten. And when they were released, the Bible says they went to their own. They had what they call their own.
Hallelujah.
And when they got there to their own were not having barbecue. Their own were having a spiritual barbecue. They were praying.
Hallelujah.
And they were so spiritual that when they saw Peter, the girl who saw Peter thought it was Peter's ghost. But they had gone back to their own. Church people should have what they call their own.
Amen.
Their own.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
If something happens to me, you know, some of my relatives, some of my workmates and whoever, when they come to my house, they should find my house packed with people whom they have never seen. Because those are my own. These are the people that I'm going to heaven with. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
How will we greet each other in heaven if we can't greet each other here now?
Yeah.
How is it going to happen? That's not the kind of church that I'm used to. Praise the Lord. So, Abraham's life illustrated God's sincere desire as our Heavenly Father to restore our broken relationship with Him. Hallelujah. Through the offering of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So God longs to hear us say, Father, here I am. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Our families, they want to know and to hear us say, here I am.
Hallelujah.
The man of God in the house needs to see us in prayer meetings.
Hallelujah.
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 If you can't be in the prayer meeting and listen to a message, Pastor, I'm sorry, I can't attend, I'm at work or this or that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It lifts the spirit of the man of God.
Amen.
It lifts the heart of the servant of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our friends, our relatives, our brethren, they need to feel our presence.
Amen.
They need to hear us say, here I am. But you see, the interesting thing is, God did not just require that we respond us just by saying, here I am to him, here I am to our family, here I am to him. God himself also says, here I am to us. And that's why we must find it easy to respond to him.
Hallelujah.
With a here I am.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
He didn't make it a one-way thing. He made it a dual thing.
Yes.
Isaiah 58, verse number 9. Isaiah 58, verse number 9 is talking about fasting. You will call and the Lord will answer. You will cry for help and he will say, here I am. Here I am. Praise God. Here I am. The Lord will say, here I am. We need to understand that God does not only want us to be available, but he is also available to us.
Amen.
He is always available to us.
Amen.
He is a present God.
Yes.
He is a personal God for each and every one of us. As he was with the Israelites, as he brought them out of the land of Egypt, protect them by dividing, you know, by providing for them, you know, protecting them and fighting for them. He is with us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that the angel of God, who used to go in front of them, and sometimes it would go behind them to protect them, just as an assurance that God was with them. Exodus 14 and verse 19. Hallelujah. Now, my question to you, my brothers and my sisters, is, have you ever felt alone, forsaken, or forgotten? Many times we feel like that. But that's how the enemy would want us to feel. The enemy would want us to feel. He would want you to feel. He would want me to feel as if I'm on my own, I have no one, I have nobody to help. However, feelings are not always correct. And feelings are not the word of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God uses his words. He does not use our feelings.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And remember, the devil is a liar.
Yeah.
Why would the devil come to encourage you and tell you God is with you? The devil would rather come and tell you you are on your own. You better cry, Eloi, Eloi, because the Lord has forsaken you. That's the devil. Hallelujah. But we know from the word of God, we know from the scriptures that God says he will never leave us and he will never forsake us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
As Israel was about to be invaded by Babylon and taken into captivity for 70 years, God made his heart known. He says in Isaiah 65 verse 1, I was sought by those who did not ask for me. I was found by those who did not seek for me. I said, Here I am. We are entering into a season of fasting and prayer. And it's better we prepare to hear the Lord say to us, Here I am.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God is watching and waiting every day for us to approach him in faith and in confidence, ready to embrace us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is ready to embrace us. And we should prepare to hear those words. My child, here I am. It doesn't matter what situation we may find ourselves in. The Lord says, here I am. Even Jesus said, here I am. Jesus is always available. He says, I am with you to the end of the earth. He is always waiting for us to say, here I am. The more we say, here I am, the more he says, here I am. Revelation 3:20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I will enter. I will eat with him and he with me. But verse 19, before that one, before verse 20, which I have just quoted, it says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. So we are being told here to be zealous and to be aware of the willingness of God to respond to us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God doesn't change. He is always available to us.
Amen.
God doesn't change. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Whether I'm sick or not, God doesn't change.
Hallelujah.
Whether I'm poor or not, God doesn't change.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Yes. What I am going through does not represent the faithfulness of God.
No.
Hallelujah. Yes. God is God and he is faithful whether things are good for me or whether they are going bad for me. Yes. He remains faithful.
Amen.
And I continue to hold him faithful and present in my life because that's what he said in his word.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The devil is a liar.
Yes.
He wants to convince us otherwise. But we must hear the voice of God say,
Amen.
Here I am.
Amen.
And God must hear us say to him, Here I am. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
John 14, verse number 4. This will be my last scripture, I guess. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He wants us to abide in his presence, to abide in his love, in his word, in his assurances. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
So Jesus lived out a life of availability, always at the service of his Father, doing his Father's will and with the help of his Father's presence. And so can we. Praise God. Because God is saying to us, here I am. That's why you hear David says, I delight to do your will, O Lord. Your law is in my heart.
Yes.
Psalms chapter 40, verse number 8. I delight to do your will, O my Lord God. Your law, hallelujah. Praise God.
Yes.
Our presence is wonderful. Let's continue to be present in church. Let's continue to be present everywhere. But let's go a step further. Let us be available.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let us be available.
Amen.
Today, the Lord is calling upon you, he's calling upon me, not just to be present, but to be available. Fasting and prayer time is a time to say, Lord, here I am.
Amen.
I am available. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
But I would want us to stand up on our feet, and I want us to say to the Father, Lord, I am available. I will be available. As we seek your heart this coming week, as we pray this coming week, I want to hear your voice say to me, I am available. Because I am saying to you, I am available.
Hallelujah.
Here I am, O Lord God. Hallelujah. Let's raise our hands to the Father. Let's just talk to the Father. Let's pray right now. Everybody, let us just pray. Yes, Father God, we thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for your goodness. You are the Lord who is always available unto us. And your desire is not only for us to be available. Your desire is not only to hear us say to you, here I am. But according to your word, it is also your desire for us to hear you say, here I am, Lord. You are always available to us in all our situations, in all our circumstances. You are available to us, Almighty Father. And therefore, we also make ourselves available to you. We make ourselves available to you, my Father. As we enter into this season of praying and seeking your presence and seeking your guidance, Almighty Father, we commit ourselves to you. We commit our availability to you, O Lord God Most High. We thank you for hearing us today, and we thank you for being available to us, and as we are available to you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we give you all the glory and we give you all the honor in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Let's clap our hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. For the moments, you can come and take over. Thank you so much.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor, for that wonderful word to us today. And I'm sure we all know, but we need to say it again, that at the end of this week in prayer and fasting, God is not going to change. He will not change in any day, however long we fast and pray. But by the grace of God, if this week is going to be successful, it will be because we have changed. Where we've not been available, we are available. There are details of the times and themes for prayer and fasting on the Way WhatsApp. If you are not on that site, we'd love you to be, because we want to give all of the information relating to the church on that. And so if you are not there, if you can see either Lee or Judith or me or almost anybody, and Petra, we'll ensure that you are, and then you'll know what's happening. First of all, I think it was on the notice. They're not always correct. But tonight, there is prayer at 7 o'clock here. And then again on Wednesday at 7:30. And then on Thursday, that wasn't on the notice board, but it was no mission, on Thursday at 7:30. But essentially, we underline that this is between us and God, although as we are available, we are doing together because of that. But together we are praying, together we are fasting, and we are making ourselves available. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you.